To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks on 2SER.
Good morning, Tali Aletia.
Hey, Sophie.
Welcome to again to Gaggle of Geeks.
Thank you for having me again.
Not a problem, because today Blake is in literally a delivery ward.
Oh my goodness. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. I barely was able to get myself up and dressed. Imagine having to do that to a baby.
Oh my God. No. Terrified. But this is the segment where we chat about all things good and geeky as well as pop culture. And a few things have been happening this week. Should we start with the negative or the positive?
I think it's always let's go with the positive.
Okay.
And then we'll just really end this on a high.
Yeah.
Ranty, angry high.
Let's do this. So Ant-Man and the Wasp came out this week. Which means finally we get to see Ant-Man again because he was benched during Infinity War. Bit of a shame. But last we saw him was in Civil War helping up Captain America.
Are you a big Ant-Man fan?
Like comics-wise, he was a bit of a weird, problematic character. Bit of a wife beater.
Oh, okay.
He's a bit weird. But they've gone to the second iteration, which is played by Paul Rudd in the films with Scott Lang. And I did enjoy the first movie. I mean, there was a lot of issues with production because they had Edgar Wright and they didn't have Edgar Wright.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And so, yeah, so Peyton Reed took over and now he's continuing. He's also directing this one. So, yeah, I enjoyed it, but I found actually this sequel a lot more fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Like is it comedy funny or is it just...
Yeah, it was... It just was funny and they were just kind of, everyone just seemed to be having a really good time and you were going along for the ride. So,
but is it still like good guy versus bad guy tries to save the world kind of thing or?
Well, in a way, yes. So basically the premise of the second film, Scott, he's on house arrest after the events of Civil War because he got caught. So they were like, so you can come back with us quietly and we'll give you house arrest for 2 years or we can like, you know, throw you in jail for the rest of your life.
Oh, what a tough decision.
Mm.
What did he choose? Gosh.
Oh, can't imagine. So of course he chooses house arrest. He's about 3 days left when his former partners, Hank Pym and his daughter, Hope Van Dyne, they're playing around with quantum physics again, which then sparks the events of the film where he gets some visions back when he was in the quantum realm.
What would superhero movies be without science? Like, could you imagine?
Questionable science.
Questionable science. But I mean, like Spider-Man, if no one was ever playing around with radioactive spiders, that doesn't happen.
You'd just be stuck with Superman and Batman.
Yeah, you have to kind of be born into it.
Born into it or trained into it.
Yeah, because I mean, Iron Man, that's a lot of technology and science.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
He's a science man.
Maybe it's just Superman.
Yeah.
No pressure.
God, that'd be boring.
Save the world. Okay.
Just find him one of the most boring characters. It's just like, I'm Superman. I have power. I do good things. Yes.
I put on glasses, then no one recognizes
me. I know. That is his major superpower. Like, how can you not? It's like, I'm wearing glasses. Yeah. And it's like, how can you not recognize me with or without them?
It's a different place. So back to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. So this time the villain, it's a bit more ambiguous. It is Ghost, who is, they've actually made her a female.
Oh.
The comics. She was a man back in her actual comic book days. And she has the power to phase through objects after her father's, who also worked in quantum physics. His experiment went very, very, very wrong. Science.
And doing experiments involving your children?
Well,
probably.
It was more his scientific, like his... He was doing science. This is how scientific I am. He does science.
Don't need to go into detail. That's enough.
Yeah, he does science. Science went wrong. He told everyone to run. His daughter didn't run fast enough.
So instead of doing science, you should have been taking her to the gym, making her run track.
Well, to be fair, she ran back to be with him because she thought he would die.
Oh, okay. That's a nicer story.
Yeah, it
sounds,
is. So it's
like
a bit
she's
more
complex.
Yeah, she's more of a complex character. So it wasn't just like, this is super, super bad person. I am bad, which is what I actually really enjoyed about it. And it didn't have too many ties to the greater Marvel universe where things get very, very complicated.
Okay.
Like if you watched Infinity War and you had never seen any of the other Marvel movies, good luck to you. Like seriously, good luck to you because you would not know a single thing that's happening.
Because it is so
intrinsically tied to all those other movies.
Oh.
Well, this one was just like, if you watch the first film, that would have been fine because it was
good
an origin story. Good background. But the opening scene of this is just adorable. One of the best parts of this movie is his relationship with his daughter, Cassie. And like the first thing you see is he's like made like a cardboard fort of what it'd be like to be an ant. And he and his daughter are on, they're just like, you know, tunneling through, like trying to get treasure. And then in the end, he's made a slide out of cardboard down the stairs as the finale because he doesn't know what else to like entertain a 10-year-old while he's on house arrest. So he builds literally a cardboard maze pretending to be the adventures of Ant-Man and his daughter.
Oh,
and it just really,
that actually sounds really adorable.
It is really great moments like that in the film. And yeah, it's funny. Like you see the return of Michael Peña as his wisecracking friend, Luis. Unfortunately, he didn't have as much space to improvise in this film, so he says. And you can kind of feel it because in the first film there were some great moments where he kind of reminisces and just gets sidetracked on like 10 different tangents. And this only happened once in this film. So if you're going for that, it only happens
you're
once.
You're going to be disappointed.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly returns as Hope and she's amazing. Michael Douglas plays grumpy old man, does very well.
It's kind of Steve, his niche thing, isn't
it? It is.
He does it so well, you don't really need anyone else.
But this film also has Lawrence Fishburne in it,
who's
introduced as another scientist.
Don't write him off yet.
No, but he was more of a human character, which is what I really liked about him. He had like no allegiance to good or bad. He was just kind of the human heart in this film.
Because that's a common thing in superhero movies. They don't have a lot of human friends or a lot of human interactions that much, I feel.
They'll save the people.
Yeah, but then they don't actually converse with the people or talk to the people. They've got this like deep loyalty to the people.
Yeah.
And then they just, oh, okay, you're there.
Cool.
Thank you.
That's nice. You're alive. All right.
Bye. I'll blow up this car. I'll do this. It's fine.
Yeah. So he comes in. And they're also introducing in this Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh.
As the original Wasp, Hank Pym's wife, Janet Van Dyne. So, yeah.
Wow. So
The Pfeiffer is back.
So what would you rate it?
Look, I found it really fun. The editing, like some of the action scenes, like some of the best parts of Ant-Man 1 was like how they kind of moved through the shifting sizes, like super big to super small. This one, it still has that, but I feel like the editing suite, they kind of just cut some scenes in half. It's like, you don't need that. So it didn't transition as smoothly, so it was a little choppy. But overall, I thought it was just a really fun action film. It didn't have not too many overlying ties with the other films. And as a standalone, like, it was kind of a breath of fresh air, really. Mm. So I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And as someone like me who doesn't live in that world as much as you would someone like me enjoy it too?
Yeah, it's just Paul Rudd doing wisecracks and that, you know, as a vampire. He's a great funny vampire. He doesn't age. He's like Keanu Reeves.
Paul Rudd, I know. If you do him like side by side of him when he was in Clueless, he has not changed. What is going on? That's some good science going on right there.
I know, right? Mm. Such good science. So that's the good news.
The bad news.
Shall we do it?
Yeah. Is Scarlett Johansson. Johansson. I always feel like when I'm being fancy, I say Johansson, but
well,
it might be
Johansson.
Well, after
the whole Lucy Zelick thing, we should be trying to say people's names proper.
Exactly. Well, I was about to say, I'm sorry, Scarlett, if I've got it wrong, but I don't think I should be apologising to Scarlett.
No.
So you'll remember that Scarlett was in Ghost in the Shell, which was the Japanese manga movie remake, and it was questioned as to why she was playing the lead character when she was not Asian. And
For a lot of Asian people who rarely see Asians on screen, it was like, Again?
Quite a lot of furor, especially when you consider there are a lot of Asian actresses in Hollywood. It's not as if there are none and they've gone, oh, we need Scarlett. And Scarlett's gone, I understand, because there are no one.
There is no one, there, or they just need my star power. Yeah. Just like...
Yeah, get it going, Scarlett. So you that happened and you've gone, oh, maybe she didn't know, but now she does. Like, tone deaf once, shame on on you, but now you know, let's grow, let's be a better person. Do you think Scarlett has learnt? No, she has not.
I would hope so, because I really want to see her in a Black Widow movie.
Well, if talking about Scarlett is raising her profile, so that might happen, maybe this is the reason why. So she is going to be in a real-life drama about Dante Tex Gill, who is a trans man.
Yep.
And the movie's called Rub and Tug.
Right.
So you might hear the problem there is that she is going to be playing a trans man. And
as a cis woman.
As exactly a cis woman. So it is literally history repeating itself again. And Scarlett has not learnt. I think it's the same director who did Ghost in the Shell. So it's they've like partnered up to be like, what group can we offend now?
Oh.
So it's gone, yep, Asians, tick, trans, tick. And understandably, a lot of trans actors have come out to be, this is not fair. This is, you again have trans actors that you can choose from and you are not choosing to do it. And they were like, we wouldn't have a problem, but we're not in the room where when you're casting cis actors to do these, you don't consider us. It's not like a two-way street right now. It's just Scarlett straight and she just plays whoever she wants to. And then tries...
Magical Asian. Magical trans.
And like, she's a good actor, but she's not that good. Like, in the terms of her being able to do it. So I think that Scarlett has totally overstepped a lot of boundaries. She wrote a really terrible statement.
So tone deaf.
Didn't address it. It was just like, well, talk to Jared Leto. And she literally just quoted a whole lot of actors who did something similar.
So, yeah, she did Jared Leto, where this conversation really started because, you know, he's like, look, I'm trying to raise your profile.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, gee, no, thanks.
But, not needed.
And Felicity Huffman, she did Trans America back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, but it's just like...
But then also she did... said Jeffrey Tambor. I mean, yeah, Emmy Award winning or Golden Globe winning Jeffrey Tambor, who's been like accused of harassment and like
and that verbal assault. And that was the thing. It was so dismissive. Rather than saying, oh no, I've done this again and I care and I do something, she's just gone, oh, well, if you've got a problem with me, you've got a problem with all those too. Like it's not bad if I do it because other people are doing it too. I'm going, yeah, it's still bad though. And the fact that you've done it twice, double bad.
So, it is such a white person thing to say. A white person who has power and profile. And
so. Yeah, exactly. So, for that reason, Scarlett, no. No, Scarlett, no. Scar no.
Well, Tali, thank you so much for joining us here on Gaggle of Geeks. We'll see you next week for more gaggling.
Thanks, Sophie.
Till then, bye.